While they spread their palm branches on the ground, the people call Jesus a king. They recognize God's peace and glory in heaven. What the people shout now, a week before the end of Jesus' life on earth, sounds kind of familiar to what the angels were singing at the start of his life on earth. If you recall, back in Luke chapter 2, glory to God in highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Do you remember that? Christmas wasn't all that long ago, and that's where we read those words. The angels, back in the Christmas story, they said that Jesus would bring peace to humanity, and the people here now in this story are shouting about peace in heaven. This is to say that there is peace in the presence of God, peace in heaven. In other words, there is peace now between God and human beings because of the life of Jesus. Through Jesus, humanity can be reconciled to God. There's peace with God. It's that peace, the reconciliation with God, that makes the ministry of Jesus relevant to us even some 2,000 or so years later. It is peace between God and humanity that allows us to function in a world that seems crazy sometimes. It's the fact that human beings can be on good terms with God, not hostile terms, which allows us to have a better perspective on our personal problems as well as the world's problems. You know that when you read those ugly, negative, frightening headlines, you can get a slight feeling of despair, wondering if God even cares about the world. And you know that when things go wrong and you, like Alexander, have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, you can feel as if God does not exist. And if he does exist, he simply doesn't care about you. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I have at times. The good news for us, even so many years after the first Palm Sunday, is that God really does care. God is about connecting with his creation. God wants us to be on good terms. He wants us to know and experience his love and experience his love despite the fluctuating circumstances of life. His love is constant, not like the stock market or unemployment rates, and God's peace is available because of Jesus. That's why Jesus is so important. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the unique one who makes reconciliation with God possible. The New Testament writers, like the Apostle Paul, they understood this idea and they wrote about it very clearly. For example, Paul wrote this to Christians in the city of Rome a few years after Jesus was crucified and then rose from the dead. He wrote, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." Jesus is God's provision for us. He is the one who is uniquely qualified to connect us with God. He shares the same essence as God, as the Father. God is of one essence, shares that essence with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Yet Jesus, having been born of a woman, shares in the same essence as human beings. So Jesus, as human yet divine, is the one who not only can tell us about God, but can also demonstrate what God is like and can ultimately connect us to God. And too many people in our time live disconnected from God. They won't admit it. Some have even manufactured their own gods in a desperate attempt to find peace. Some have tried to find God in alcohol and other drugs. Some have tried to find him in some sort of philosophical idea or system that allows them to do whatever they want to do in life and hopefully have a clear conscience about it. Some people have tried to make a god out of their education, out of their career or their financial success, hoping this will allow for some peace. Some people make a relationship with another person a god in their lives, and they worship this relationship even when it causes them pain and destruction. There are other people who have made themselves god, trying to believe that they are the masters of their own fate and captains of their own soul, but it's not working out that way. We all will have to give an account to God one day. God did not create us for us to remain distant from him. It was his plan for us to have peace with him, to live in harmony with him, to enjoy him forever, and to have a life that is abundant and meaningful. Jesus is not overrated. He is the door that opens us to life with God, the source of peace between God and humanity. He is the light that brightens up our lives, even when the world and our days seem rather dark. He is love. And who doesn't need love today, especially when we feel isolated, lonely, and overwhelmed? Now, some of what I just said might sound cliche, but the point is that we cannot find that peace that I'm talking about by simply saying nice things about God or about Jesus. The peace can only be found in having a faithful relationship with God. That's to say, that a relationship that is based upon faith. Relationships are not cliche. They are the way that we learn real lessons in life. You can read a book. You can watch a movie about relationships, laugh and giggle at that stuff. But you will learn more by actually having a relationship. You can talk about God, read stuff about God, but without actually having a relationship with God, you won't know the kind of peace that I'm trying to describe. Or you will have all the cliches. The crowd that shouted back on that first Palm Sunday was right in what it said. The crowd was right to call Jesus a king, to praise him, to acknowledge peace in heaven. We know they were right because when the Pharisees tried to stop them, Jesus had something amazing to say. He pointed it out that this kind of praise had to happen even if the rocks had to shout it out. Praise and celebration were the proper things to do, and the words that were said were the right words to say. For you, for me, today, we need to understand that King Jesus is about real peace. And one dimension of that peace, one aspect of that peace, is peace between God and humanity. If you don't have peace with God, you're on your own, and it's a formula for disaster, sooner or later. Now, when Jesus gets up to the city limits, he breaks into tears. Now, that's something. And at first, it seems rather odd. It's like kids at their birthdays. You parents, we plan those parties. We send out those invitations. We shop for the toys and the goodies. We wrap the gifts, bake the cakes or cupcakes, icing each one. We light the candles, set up and clean up. And what happens? There are a few hours of fun and games, which you have orchestrated and prepared. Then all of a sudden, you hear the scream. And it's not the troublemaking kid that you wanted to go home early. It's your kid. It's your kid screaming, crying, having a fit. And the thought that goes through your mind, you can't help it, is that I would not have gone through all this trouble if I thought the kid was going to be unhappy. Now, of course, there are mitigating factors. All the kids are tired. Your kid's simply overwhelmed. And little people have limited ways of expressing themselves. I understand all of this. It's true. Even so, crying at a joyous occasion seems like an odd combination. The exception is weddings, we know. But those tears are just in a whole other category, I understand. But here in our story, Jesus has been celebrated as a king, people heaping praise on him, and as he gets close to the city, he starts crying. The shortest verse in the Bible is well known. It's in John's gospel, the translation, simple two-word sentence, Jesus wept. When we were kids and we had to recite a Bible verse, we all wanted that one because it was less to remember. Jesus wept. But that day when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead is not the only day when our Lord shed tears. The Lord also shed tears on this first Palm Sunday. He cried over the city of Jerusalem. He cried over the city. It's a city with the word peace right in its name. But he said they did not know what makes for peace. The people did not understand God's way of peace. Now, peace in the Bible, I don't have time to get into it, but it's a broad idea. It has to do with wholeness, with health, with harmony, with justice, with reconciliation on many levels. The Old Testament Hebrew word shalom is a big concept. It's picked up in an Aramaic word, shalem. It's in an Arabic word, salam. All of those words are from the same root, and people who speak Hebrew or Arabic today still greet one another as they did in ancient times with a wish for peace. We know it's ironic because it's that part of the world that has known violence for so long, yet they greet each other with peace. Peace, real peace, God's peace, is a wholeness that is meant to impact all of our relationships in positive ways. On a large scale, it impacts the way entire groups of people interact with one another. And on a small scale, it can be as simple as you getting along with your housemates. Jesus wept because, by and large, the city of Jerusalem did not know God's real peace. And as a consequence, they would face destruction at the hands of the Romans. He predicts this. That's the situation he seems to be describing. A few years, indeed, after that first Palm Sunday, the Jewish people would revolt against the Romans. During the years 66 to 73, I know a long, long time ago, there was a war. The temple was hit hard in Jerusalem and destroyed in the year 70. many Jewish people, and that would have included some Christians who still were identified as Jews, to have a miserable time. Life was dangerous. It was a crazy time. Many people on this first Palm Sunday had the wrong idea about Jesus. Many still felt that there needed to be a violent overthrow of the Roman government so that God's kingdom could be established. This was not God's way. Jesus is crying. He says, you don't know what makes for peace. It still is not the way. Our Lord wants his peace not only to connect us with God, but to reconcile us with each other. Through Jesus, human beings can be reconciled to one another. By following my Lord's teaching and my Lord's example of loving my neighbor and even loving my enemies, there can be reconciliation, real peace. By following my Lord's example of not retaliating when falsely accused, I can be an agent of real peace. By following my Lord's example of seeing other human beings as honorable, deserving of dignity, as made in God's own image, there can be a new peace. Now, I know that many people will not find this way of peace. I understand this. Some will pick up a gun to express anger and hatred. I understand that. Some will try to take matters into their own hands. But as I see it, that is all the more reason for God's people to live out this Palm Sunday message of a king who comes in the name of the Lord, humble on a donkey. The image of Jesus on Palm Sunday is one of peace. Not everybody likes that image. I understand. There's this popular but controversial pastor out on the other side of our country where those folks live who apparently said these things about, is Duncan, I'm joking about your family coming from, yeah, okay, you know who I'm talking about, right? I guess that's okay, I set you up now. Anyway, he apparently said this about the way some of us who get called emergent types, emergent Christians, I guess the simple way to say it is people who've been trying to find new and fresh ways to practice our Christian faith in our context. And he says, some emergent types want to recast Jesus as a limp-wrist hippie in a dress with a lot of product in his hair, who drank decaf and made pithy Zen statements about life while shopping for the perfect pair of shoes. In Revelation, Jesus is a prize fighter with a tattoo down his leg, a sword in his hand, and the commitment to make someone bleed. That's a guy I can worship. I cannot worship the hippie diaper halo Christ because I cannot worship a guy I can beat up. Yeah, some people like that, I know, because that sounds rather American, right? I don't want people to see Jesus as a chump, but come on. Now, I suspect Reverend Driscoll isn't too excited about the picture Jesus created of himself on Palm Sunday, riding peacefully into the city and then doing a very unmanly thing, crying in front of everybody, crying for people in that city. That's the kind of guy I can worship. Jesus had compassion on the city. This is what he said a few short days before his ride into the city. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. I guess that didn't sound very manly either. But it sounds rather comforting. Especially if you need somebody to comfort you. The mission of Peace Fellowship Church is to develop disciples of Jesus Christ here in our neighborhoods east of the Anacostia River, partly because these neighborhoods have had their share of difficulty over the years, but people who love God and love their neighbors. That's the way of peace. It's what Palm Sunday is about, at least as I think of it. Jesus weeps when his people miss the point of his ministry of peace. His peace is partly about our peace of mind, our stability, our well-being in this crazy world. And we can have that kind of peace when we're reconciled to God. But our Lord's peace is also about getting along with others. And we need to take that call seriously as well. How? By showing love in practical ways. We Christians need to be good listeners even more than good shouters. We Christians need to continue the legacy of compassion, reaching out to people even if they don't believe as we believe. We Christians need to be, as we are trying to be today, friends. We are friends not because we do everything in the same way or as everyone else or allow ourselves to get pulled into bad situations. We are friends in a better sense because we help people to connect with God and try to become true peacemakers agents of God's mercy and grace on earth, and I hope we can hear that kind of challenge today. Lord, I want to thank you for the image of Jesus, lowly, humble, riding into the city, but with all power in his hands. I thank you for his weeping over the city, and at times we have wept for our own city because we want to connect with you better. We want people's lives to be saved. We are hurt by the violence, the abandonment, the struggles, the poverty, the difficulties, the loss. And we want to be true agents of peace and mercy and justice, not because we have all the answers and not because of cliches, but simply because our relationship with you moves us to be the best we can be. So we ask for your will to be done in our lives and that your spirit would energize us and empower us so we could be those kinds of people. Let your will be done today and each day. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.